Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kuf Chaf Aleph, Baba Basra 121a, pagination is 241. We'll start from midway on the page. In the name of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, we see in the beginning of the line, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael. There were no holidays to the Jewish people like as wonderful as the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. The Gemara on the next line says, Bishlomo Yom HaKippurim, I understand Yom Kippur. Of course, Yom Slicha Mechila, it's a day of forgiveness. Yom Shenitnu Baluchas Acharonos, it's the day that we got the second set of Luchos. And Yom Kippur, we understand why it's so special. El Chamisha Sabaov Mayhi. But what is the holiday that 15th day of the month of Av represents? So the Gemara offers a number of answers to this. Let's begin one line up from the bottom. In the name of Rav Nachman, Yom Shekolu Bo Meisei Midbar. It was the day that the people destined to die in the desert in the time of Moshe finally completed that process. So we have the concept that the Jewish people early on in their time in the desert were headed for Eretz Israel. They sent their messengers, the Meraglim, into the land of Israel, and they came back, at least most of them, with a bad report. And the Jewish people mourned on that night, what a terrible thing, we're going into Eretz Israel, and nothing is going to work out, according to these 10 spies that came back with the bad report. So Hashem said, Atamu, until all these people who were there mourning their entry to the land of Israel, until they die out, and their children will be in their place to go into the land of Israel. So our tradition is that they died year after year on the 9th of Av, what we know as Tisha B'Av, and this was the original mourning that occurred on Tisha B'Av that the Jewish people mourned going into Eretz Israel. And Hashem, in effect, says, I'll give you what to mourn. On the contrary, once you finally appreciate the land of Israel, that's going to be the time when I'm sending you out into exile, Tisha B'Av. Finally, in the last year, when no more people were supposed to die anymore, at that point, they continued to think that there would be deaths on Tisha B'Av, and it wasn't until the 15th day of Av, when they saw the full moon, that they realized definitively that there was no miscalculation and there was no delay in the plague coming this year. It was clear to them by the 15th of Av that this punishment was over, and they were able to dub it a holiday, a day of recognition that they would no longer die on Tisha B'Av. Turning the page, we have another reason for the 15th of Av being considered a holiday. On the fourth line, Ula Amar Ula said, Yom Shebita Bo Hoshea Ben Ela Pardesaos Shehoshiv Yeravam. It was the day that a king in the Jewish people known as Hoshea ben Ela, at the end, before the exile, he finally removed the roadblocks that the earlier king, Yeravam, had created to stop people from going to Yerushalayim on the holiday. As the story goes, Yeravam established a second kingdom in the Jewish people, and when he realized that if the people would go to Yerushalayim to worship, they would recognize that this king from the Davidic dynasty is the real king, and that he's just a wannabe. So he wanted to stop the people from going to Yerushalayim and realizing that he's not as great as the king from the house of David. And so he put up these roadblocks, and that continued to cause terrible deterioration because the Jewish people were not infused with the greatness of Yerushalayim. And presumably there were many Jews who never ever traveled to Yerushalayim and lived in the land of Israel, possibly for generations, without ever seeing the Beis HaMikdash, all because of Yeravam and the definitive way that he wanted to create his kingdom, isolating them from the greatness of Yerushalayim. This later king, Hoshea ben Ela, finally removed the roadblocks. Unfortunately, it was too late to save the Jewish people. The deterioration and the bad habit of not going to Yerushalayim had already set in, but it was a day of celebration. It was like coming full circle, like finally the roadblocks are gone. Another reason for the celebration, Rav Masna Omar, Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beita Likvura. It was the day that the people killed in that rebellion against Rome, in Beitar, which was a holdout against the Roman legions, and it was finally infiltrated by the Romans and overrun and killed. On this day, years later, the bodies were finally allowed to be buried. They found a miracle that the bodies had not decomposed, and they were able to proceed with this difficult task. And that day was considered a celebration. It sounds a little bit incongruous, but it was a celebration because, as the commentaries explain, they recognized that Hashem would assist them, even if it wasn't openly, like it would be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but in a hidden way, Hashem would assist them to accomplish whatever they needed to accomplish, even in the exile. Continuing in the Gemara on the third line of the Wides, Yom Sheposkibo Melichros Etzim L'Ma'arocha. It was the end of a certain mitzvah endeavor, which was cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. It was the end of when they would do that process, because after that, it's not as hot, the sun is not as strong, and the wood would not be as dry. And therefore they stopped on this day, and therefore it was a celebration of the completion of a mitzvah. We also have the concept that moving forward from the date of Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, the days get shorter, the nights get longer. And in traditional sense, if the nights are longer, it gives more time away from work and available for Torah study. In our time, with lighting, it gets a little bit more confusing. When does a person close down other endeavors and have time to study Torah? But in a traditional sense, when the days get shorter, the nights get longer, and there's more time to study Torah. There's one more really interesting Gemara that I just want to squeeze in. On the next line, Tanei Rabbanan, we learned, Shiva Kaflu Eskol Ha'olam Kulo. There's seven people that span the entire distance, so to speak, all the generations of humanity. Misushelach Ra'a Adam. Misushelach met Adam, he saw Adam. So Adam is one, Misushelach is two. He lived for a very long time, Misushelach. And Shem Ra'a Misushelach, Shem the son of Noach saw Misushelach. So he's number three in this process. Yaakov Ra'a es Shem, Yaakov saw Shem. So he's the fourth. Amram ra es Yaakov. Amram saw Yaakov, so he's 5. Achia Shiloni ra es Amram. Achia Shiloni was a great sage, an important person of great significance. He was number 6. And Eliyo ra es Achia Hashiloni v'adayin kayum. And Eliyo Anovi saw Achia Hashiloni, and Eliyo is still alive because, as the Navi describes in Malachim, he ascended in a fiery chariot and he's still alive. He didn't die. And therefore, through 7 people, you can span the entire period of generations from Adam into the future. One quick observation over here. Achia Hashiloni is one of the people mentioned in the Rambam's introduction to Mishneh Torah as a person of the Mesorah. Nevertheless, as a person of the Mesorah, he's not going to be the link from Amram all the way to Eliyahu, because when he met Amram, he was very young. He wasn't the sage of the generation. And therefore, we need other people in there in terms of the Mesorah before we get to Achia Hashiloni being the leader of the generation. But as far as our Gemara goes, simply a person who saw a person, Achia Hashiloni is able to be the link to Amram. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.